In our last session, we were in verse 7, actually just getting started into verse 7. So if you have the Bible handy, turn 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. You will notice, please, in verse 6, he talks about the people rejoicing in their salvation, though now for a season, that is for a temporary time span, though for a season, if need be, ye are in heaven. As you're down in the mouth, you're going through some deep water here, through manifold or many trials. It says many temptations, but the term, the essence of the term, temptation, means a trial. If a person is tempted to sin, the trial is in place. Will you or won't you? Will you give in? Will you not? That's the essence of temptation. It's a trial. Now, in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, the persecution is underway. Have you ever known any persecution? Have you ever lost a job because you were a Christian? Did you ever get suspended from school because you had a Bible that you were reading on lunch hour? Did you ever get in trouble with some authority because you were a Christian? Not because of something stupid you were doing, in the sense of, well, for instance, when I was a boy in college, down at Bob Jones, they had a ministerial class, and part of our training required us on the weekends to be involved in preaching or teaching some form of ministry. And it was fairly popular. The fellows would go out into towns and do street preaching. Now, that's probably a one-way ticket to a rubber room here in the north, but down in the south, you could do that. You'd stand on the sidewalk or in a place where people could gather and preach the gospel. Well, there was one fellow in particular who was extremely obnoxious. And he began to do some street preaching, and the police came along and told him, "Now look, you can't do that here. You have to move on down here to the park. You go ahead and preach down there, but you can't block traffic here because people were gathering around and standing off the curb into the street." And he got a really belligerent attitude, and he said, "You can't tell me what to do." And the cops went on, and they came back by later, and he was still doing it. And they told him, said, "Look, this is the last time we're going to tell you. You've got to move this down to the park." It was just maybe just a block over. He could have moved it, and he wouldn't do it. So they put him in jail. Now, this silly boob was sitting around rejoicing in persecution. "Oh, I've been thrown in jail for my testimony of Christ." And that's not true. He wasn't cast into prison because of his preaching of the gospel. He just wasn't using good sense. He wasn't being told he couldn't preach. He was just being told it was a danger to his audience if he continued preaching where he was because they were standing in the traffic. Now that's, you see, there is a different proposition altogether. The trial of your faith, being run down, being put in a position, a less than good light, being, getting into trouble because of your faith, not because of some on-headed, stupid behavior. Not that at all. Don't confuse those things. But this business here, the trial of their faith, what did it consist of? Well, would they shut up and go along with the crowd? Popular entertainment at that time. Again, a lot of stuff happening in the marketplaces and on the streets. People gather around. And during this period of time, a lot of the plays that were done, a lot of the street entertainment was of a very lewd and lascivious kind of portrayal, performance. And the Christians would, you know, see what was going on and, back out of it and leave. "Hey, where are you going? What's the matter? You too good?" The mockery began and the heckling and all the rest of that. Now, the trial of their faith amounted to this. Would they continue to do what was right, even though the situation would go against them? Would they continue to maintain their Christian testimony of purity, or would they, "Well, we don't want to make waves, and we'll keep a low profile so nobody will know"? You see, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice here, the faith is being tried, is being tested. Now, he says, though you may have heaviness through manifold temptations in verse 6, that the trial of your faith being more precious than gold, the idea of the refining, the purifying process, the fires of the purging of gold, removing the alloys, the dross. This situation that they were in was working in their lives and their faith in much the same way that heat burned out the dross from gold, the alloy, separated out, so things that weren't worthy would be separated out from their daily life and the exercise of their faith. And you will notice it had this. As gold comes out of the refining fire worth more than it did when it went in, so their faith on trial might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, you remember in our study of Revelation, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Lo, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Okay, you see this idea of being rewarded, being praised and honored, and receiving glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love. They hadn't seen the Lord. Peter had, but these people hadn't. Peter had been taught by the Lord, had walked with the Lord. As a matter of fact, he stepped out of the boat onto the waves and walked on the water to Jesus until he took his eyes off Christ and began to sink. Now, Peter had seen, so he had every reason to love the Lord and to rejoice in his salvation. He knew whom he had believed. But here he says to these Christians, whom having having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is the consummation of your faith, the objective of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Period. That's been the first period, as a matter of fact, I believe, we've seen since the conclusion of verse 5. Rather lengthy sentences, but there's a lot here. Now, let's back up. They had not seen Christ, but they loved him. Why? Why? John, in 1 John, makes this statement. He said, we love him because he first loved us. He gave himself for us. Now, you haven't seen him, but you've heard about him. You love him. Knowing what he has gone through for you, these people knew, they had heard, and they loved him. In whom, speaking of Christ, though ye see him not, yet believing. Notice, please, the tenses. You are not seeing him now, but you are believing. The present. The English picked it up here better than it normally does. Yet believing. The action is ongoing and is continuing to go on. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of glory. Happiness and joy, two different animals altogether. Happiness depends on circumstances. Now these people are going through persecution. Do you think they're happy about that? Probably not. But joy, you see, does not depend on circumstances and events and the situation surrounding you, the situation, circumstances you may find yourself in. Rather, joy is something that is internal, not external. And it comes about, it's an emotional response that is a natural consequence of the apprehension of intellectual truth. Now that sounded like it came out of a textbook. Let me say it another way. Joy comes about. It is a natural consequence. It comes naturally as a result of understanding facts that are tremendous in their import. Jesus loved me. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, died for me. Whoa. Now, that's a bit of fact, okay? It's what the Bible says. It's a fact. But how does it affect me? Now you see the emotional response comes. You want to be careful of preachers, of artists, of performers, or whatever, who are trying to play on your emotions to get a response. Let them give you the truth. The emotion will follow. Beware. Be careful. Be suspicious of people who want to play, oh, don't you just love your mother? Oh, you know, and they'll play on motherhood, the American flag, and apple pie. They'll talk, you know, and in religious circles, they'll talk about the good old days, and they'll talk about your dear mama as she prayed for you, you wayward boy. And, you know, then they play on these emotional things to try to get a response. Don't get suckered in by that. You want to have an emotional response? Let's have truth. Now, you'll note here, it's not a matter of happiness. This joy is unspeakable in spite of the persecution they're going through, in spite of the harassment they're having to endure. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end. Notice, please, it didn't say, and someday you will receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Not someday you will be saved, but present progressive receiving. It's happening now. It continued. I am saved. I was saved when I was a 9-year-old boy, and I've been saved ever since. I'm saved yesterday. I'm saved today. I'll be saved tomorrow. Why? Because, my friend, once the action begins and God started it, the action continues. Who do you think's going to be able to stop it? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time this. They want to know when this is going to happen. You think Isaiah fully understood? No, but he knew something was coming. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. Oh, yeah, for unto us a son is future. When? Searching what? Well, if you don't know what time it was, when? What's it going to be like? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Oh, yeah. There are two advents. The first advent, he came as the suffering Messiah. Second advent, he comes back as a triumphant, conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. They had a hint. They had an idea. They had this vision of what would be, but they didn't understand the setting, the timing of it. They didn't know, but they were searching. They were diligently searching and inquiring. Oh, yeah. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister. Oh, for your benefit. My time is gone for today. I hope you'll have a Bible with you, and we'll come back to this study tomorrow. See you then.